And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio. And we welcome you into another edition of Quest as we continue the conversation on our history about the African-American diaspora and those who have walked in it and bared its burden. It's presented by student hosts Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. Welcome again. And music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of our Quest listenership in the audience to pull back our musical curtain to see and hear the contributions of our diaspora, and you're sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed vibrations. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. I want to start out by just having everyone introduce themselves and say good morning, and we're going to start with Mr. Shelton Harris, our panelist and music director, right, who manages to come up with music and CDs that are possessed. They just never stop. Okay. All right. I exaggerate. Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Okay. All right. Good morning, Justin Hill, the real deal. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And Brielle Claire, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
All right. Okay. So with all the enthusiasm that you can muster up right now, we want you to sit back, relax, and take in the information that we will be reviewing for you this morning. Now, I want to start out by introducing our first host, Justin Hill, to present his first segment. And take it away, Justin Hill, the real deal.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the truth of your fathers, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you're bound to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on Alex Haley. Alex Haley was born in Ithaca, New York on August 11, 1921. Alex Haley was an American writer and the author of the 1976 book, Roots, the Saga of an American Family. Haley's first book was the autobiography of Malcolm X, published in 1965, a collaboration through numerous monthly interviews with Malcolm X. He attended Alcorn State University. It was during the service in the Pacific Theater of Operations that Haley taught himself the craft of writing stories. After World War II, Haley petitioned the U.S. Coast Guard to allow himself to transfer into the field of journalism. By 1949, he had become a petty officer, first class, and the rating of a journalist. After retiring from the U.S. Coast Guard, Haley began another phase of his journalism career. Haley wrote an article for the magazine about his brother George's struggles to succeed as one of the first black students at a Southern law school. And that is it for my segment of Alex Haley. And I just wanted to add, the reason that I chose Alex Haley for my diamond segment is because in school I actually did a Black History project on him, and I chose him today because I like about his story and his background. And that is it for my segment of diamonds.
Okay. All right. So we're going to keep it moving right along, and we want to introduce our next student host, Brielle Claire, before we begin to start chopping up the information and review. Brielle, good morning again. Take it away.
Good morning again, and today I'm going to be doing Francis Cresswell thing for my first segment of Diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. Francis Cresswell Singh was born on March 18, 1935 in Chicago, Illinois. Her father was a physician and her mother was a teacher. In 1957, she earned a BS degree in Antioch College. And in 1962, she received an MD at Howard University. After receiving those degrees, she moved to Washington, D.C. and worked at many hospitals, especially children's hospitals. 22 years later, Ms. Welsing published a book named The Isis Papers. This book is a compilation of essays she wrote for 18 years. The name Isis Papers was inspired by an ancient Egyptian goddess. In the story, according to Ms. Welsing, all the gods' names mean Lord of Perfect Black. She believed that speaking about racism would end it. According to Ms. Welsing, the issues of unemployment, infant mortality, and drug use was caused by white supremacy. She wanted to know what was going on in Black communities, so she was able to solve it and wrote essays about it. By December 30th, 2016, Ms. Welsing suffered from two strokes, and a few days later, she passed away. And I would like to add in what is significant about her and why I chose her. So I chose her because she was able to find out what was going on in Black communities, and she was able to give essays about it and write in her book and help them out for future problems. So that's why I chose Francis Cresswell Singh, and that is it for my diamonds.
Okay. Now, guys, when we begin to chop this up on the other side of this song by the Roots, right, I want you to take notes and use that for next week. And right now, the next movement, the Roots.
And yes, y'all, you are now in tune to the sound of the legendary foundation.
Stop what you're doing, it's out of their motion. It's the mother who we got the ha-ha, you dead. that.
Word up, the formation of words to fit. That's what I usually disturb you with. A lot of rappers never heard of this, or know half the time it is. You doubt the ill effect, what could you accomplish? Whether they skywriting your name or you anonymous. You be speechless for singing sinuses. The roots royal highnesses through your monitors. I show my crown, dimple down a diamond kiss. You need to buy a CD and stop rewinding this. I'm the finalist, shining like a rugged amethyst. And at your music conference, I'm the panelist. Listen close to my poetry, I examine this like an analyst. If you can handle it,
check it out.
You got the groove. MC, three, stand still. Nobody move unless you're dealing with the next movement. The P5D, we read them on you, man. I live my life night, but I'm not you, man. You theatrical laughing, always late. This ain't rent, 100% straight out the basement. Spread this across the planet on some next. It's how many people feeling this love music? Sure.
Particularly, I just want to highlight that song talking about Saturday. Yeah, every Saturday morning on WSOU 89.5 FM, we are featured with our student hosts, Brielle Claire and Justin Hill. So if you're listening to this, you just remember to tune in every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. But getting back on track, I want to say that we are looking at two different writers from two different points. Alex Haley is someone who has written a book. There's somewhat a little controversy about Alex Haley, you know, whether or not he was really from Africa or not. But I'll leave that up for experts that want to track down family lineage, right? I want to begin to bring in Mr. Harris. What are your thoughts about Alex Haley? Do you have any comments or suggestions to the conversation?
Yeah, well, when it comes to Alex Haley, you know, granted he was a good writer, you know, as long as he got information from somebody else. Because, see, people don't realize, people think that the book Roots was actually like a history of his family, when it was actually a book of fiction, which means it wasn't really true, you know, but he wrote it so well that, you know, people assumed that he must have been talking about things that went on in his real family when that wasn't the case. And just like when he did the autobiography of Malcolm X, a lot of this came from interviews. Malcolm X gave him a lot of information. It's not like he researched a lot, but he was a very good writer, a very good writer. And, you know, and because of the information in the book that he wrote, he got a lot of recognition within our community, which is, he was due that. But the fact that with all that stuff and all the movies and stuff that came on after about that, you know, he wasn't a rich man when he passed. He wasn't a rich man at all. So a lot of the interest and a lot of the money that went back and forth with his stuff had nothing to do with him. You know, but wow. You know, I still like them. I've read a few things from them.
Okay, so yeah. Now I want to, since I have you on the line, I want to keep on going. Francis Cress Wesley, what are your comments, if any, do you have about her as a writer?
I love her, you know, because she was really a psychiatrist. And, you know, and a lot of the research she did was based on racism, white supremacy, and why the things are the way they are. You know, she was very adamant about if you didn't understand racism and white supremacy, everything else that you thought you understood is going to confuse you. Because white people or Caucasian people or Europeans are less than 10% of the population on this planet. But they set themselves up where they're like the dominant people on the planet, you know, through whatever means. But everything they did was from a fear of genetic annihilation. That's how Dr. Westling looked at it. She looked at it like, you know, scientifically, that if everybody was equal and everybody loved each other, eventually white people would not exist on this planet anymore because of genetics. You know, because when a black person and a white person get together, the offspring is always a person of color. You know, look at Barack Obama. It was like as an example. His mother was white, his father was black, but when you look at him, you know where it's coming from. But she was really, she said everything that was done as far as entertainment, as far as education, as far as laws, all those things are all based on racism, white supremacy. And her books really go into depth about how it's working. Because, again, she was a psychiatrist, so she dealt with the mind. And a lot of things that we do, we don't consciously do them. We subconsciously do them. And it becomes something like, oh, that's just how it is. Nothing is how it is. It's how we make it. And she was very influential, you know, because when I first went to college, I was going to be a psychiatrist too. She was one of the people that was the reason why. But, she's passed now, but I would have loved to have met her and had conversations with her about stuff because she was one of the best.
Okay, I'm reminded of a course that I took in college called Public Institution versus Black Self-Determination. And in that particular class, we talked about the effects of white supremacy, racism in America, and how that whole system of thinking and the people who control the resources and the economics of the world have pretty much dominated a certain type of thinking towards a certain group of people, to where other black people look down on themselves, or a form of self-hatred. And so when Brielle, when I look at Francis Cress Wellsling, I look at a person who wanted to basically have a laser focus in on what was affecting black people and their advancement in today's society. And by highlighting the negative things, right, that were propagated or pushed upon black people and the things that they had to go through, right, there needed to be another side that was going to be uplifting, empowering, and enlightening, right? So that even though a level of cognitive dissonance still exists in not just black people, but white people as well, where they're accepting segregation, right? Not understanding what a power move is. But I just want to say, more importantly, you know, black people, you know, going through somewhat of a metamorphosis to change into that butterfly, the kings and queens that they really are, you know, and the image of an ugly caterpillar is something that we as black people still, you know, face. Some people can't look themselves in the mirror, you know, because they look down on themselves, right? And so when you focus, you do a laser focus in on what really causes people to, you know, think that way about themselves? What causes black people to think negatively about themselves and highlight that? Then maybe a level of empowerment or enlightening, uplifting can happen. Mr. Harris, is any of this making sense?
Yeah, well, yeah, to me, you know, but these are kind of things that people, like you were saying, doctors and people in going for their advanced degrees, it doesn't make sense to a lot of them either. You know, because, again, because of the way the system is set up, the more degrees we get, it seems as if the dumber we get, because we're just being further programmed into the racism, white supremacy mindset. So these things that are going on have been made to, like you said, make their picture of them look, you know, superior to us, and make our image of ourselves look inferior. And, you know, and it starts as a child. It starts as a child. If you ever went to church, you know, saying, you know, the first thing, you know, I know when I was going to church, I don't know how it is now, but the person that they represented as God was a white guy. And as a little kid, you don't understand that there's differences between people. You just say, oh, God must be white, whether you thought that consciously or subconsciously. You know, so you started out where your supreme being looked like them and didn't look like you. So they must be superior to you because they look more like God than I do. You know, these are the little things that they start you as a child. And then, you know, they tell you all the little stories about Santa Claus, this nice white guy who comes around every December and brings you gifts, and you can't wait for him to show up. And that's another white guy giving you something that your parents busted their butts for to get for you. You know, so there's a lot of subliminal stuff that's been put in every aspect of society to make them feel greater than they are. And it's mainly because of fear. They're fearing that they're not going to be here no more. You know, because you got to ask a white person now, would you have a problem with your grandkids being black or your great-grandkids being black? And most of them would say, yeah, I got a problem with that. I kind of want my kids to be white, my grandkids to be white, so that there'll still be white people around. But seeing that they're less than 10% of the population, you know, just the normal, natural thing is that eventually there's going to be the last white person. And that scares a lot of white people that's living today. That scares them.
Wow.
You know, because then they're going to think, well, you know, but that's a lot longer subject. I'll leave that alone.
No, that's okay. Thank you. Thank you for on the assist there, right? Because I just want to make sure I'm not rattling on. But, you know, I need to bring in the young people, right? And before I do, I just want to say, when I read the autobiography of Malcolm X written by Alex Haley, it took me on a ride of a story. It was well written, you know, and it captured my imagination to the point to where I can actually see the images in my head about his life and the study of him and of Malcolm X, that is. But the writing of Alex Haley, I think, was superb and just a well-written book. And so there's a picture floating around on social media of Malcolm sitting in a room with Alex Haley taking notes. And so that kind of, well, I don't want to say it says it all, but it captured a moment in time that we all can reflect on. You know, Brielle, what do you think about Francis Quest? What do you think about yourself, and what do you think about black people? Do you think it's hard for them to embrace their beauty and their genius?
For black people,
sometimes, like, so most people, when I look around, like, especially on social media or just around, I see a lot of Black people that love themselves, but sometimes people will try to put them down, so it would be difficult, and some people might not think that Black people are as smart as other races. So that's what I think about them. And for Frances Cress Welsing, I think it was really important what she did, because what she did was she tried to solve, like, problems in Black communities. And like you said, she highlighted the problems so that she could help solve them, because people saw Black people as not as important, or they weren't good enough. And what I think about myself is good things, and I try my best to be confident about things, like challenges that come up, and that's basically it.
Well, you know, you said a lot there, right? And thank you for your response. But Bria, why have you still, for this moment, have you ever heard of Alex Haley, and are you familiar with him as a writer?
No, I never heard of him before.
Okay. Had you ever seen the television show titled The Roots? It was called Roots. You never saw it?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, it was definitely a little ahead of your time when it came out on television, right? But it won all types of awards and acclaim. And like Mr. Harris said, a lot of people made money off of Alex Haley's writing of that particular novel. I want to come to Justin. Francis, same question. Do you think, Justin, you still there, right? Justin, do you think, what do you think about the image of Black people, and do they think bad about themselves or Black people? And what do you think about yourself?
What I think about Black people, I think that some Black people don't look down on themselves. They do what they want to do. But other Black people, they look down on themselves because of what other races are saying about them. And about me, I don't really know what else to say, but all I think is I'm just me. You know, I'm my own person. I don't know what else to say, though.
You just said a lot. By saying, Justin, I'm my own person, you said a lot, right? Mr. Harris, just expound on that. I'm my own person, right? Just tell him what that means real fast.
What I think it means is that, as you're being an individual, and that you're not really part of a group, you know, and I'm going to do what's best for me is one of the ways that is being used to separate us as a collective. You know, you can do what you want as long as it's a positive thing for the collective of whoever you're dealing with, whoever's in your culture. And that's part of what has been done within the racism, white supremacy playbook, is divide and conquer. You know, and it's nothing wrong. You can be whatever you want, but you still have to be a part of something.
Yeah, well, you know, and I have to, you have to remember, this is one of the young people in the room, right? So he's grasping upon new knowledge and information every day. And that being said, him being himself as opposed to trying to emulate someone else. But I guess, you know, the best form of acknowledging someone, right, is to, you know, emulate them, right? I forget how that saying goes. But in any event, it's a good thing to grow into your identity, to be yourself, right? Mr. Harris took it a few steps further, right? Because Mr. Harris doesn't want you to forget that while you are developing and becoming your own person, your own young man, that you belong to a collective, a group of people in society, right? And you're a part of that, right? And I'm sure you understand that. And so with that being said, and all of this talking, it's time for a little music. Don't you go anywhere. Keep it locked. And great participation and conversation from our student host and our panelist, Mr. Shelton Harris.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one, drip, drip, drop, there it goes an orgasm. Now you out the side of your face, we tapping right into your memory bank. Same. So click at the ticket, let's see your seatbelt fastened. Trunk rattling, like 2 minutes in the back seat wrestling. Speaker box vibrate the tag, make it sound like aluminum cans in a bag. But I know y'all wanted that 808, can you feel that BASS bass? But I know y'all wanted that 808, can you feel that BASS bass? All I do the girls all paused with glee, turning left, turning right, thought they looking at me, but I was looking at them, there on the dance floor. Now they got me in the middle, feeling like a man, especially the big girls need love too, no discrimination here, squirrel. So keep your hands off my cheeks, let me study how you ride to beat, you big freak. Skinny slim women got the so within them, you can them, lift them, them give them something to remember. Yell out timber when you fall through the top shop. Take a deep breath and exhale. Your ex-girlfriend, boyfriend was boring as hell. Well, let me listen to the story you tell. He can make moves like a person in jail. On the low.
Baby,
Okay, and we're back.
I don't have much time. Come on, let's carry it up.
Big time.
Had to wait you move.
Wow. You got called on line one.
All right. The sounds of the dirty South. All right. Now, we're back, as I was saying, with Quest Youth Radio. And now I want to bring on our next student host, Brielle Claire. Brielle, take it away. But when you do, do your definition that is aligned with your diamond. Got it?
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. And I'm going to be doing my segment of definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definition controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Racism. A person who believes that some races are better than others or acts unfairly to someone because of his or her race. And I chose that because if the white people allowed black people to enter in high position jobs, they wouldn't have been so stressed and they wouldn't have sold drugs to leave some children like Francis Cresswell Singh tried to solve that problem. And that was one of the problems in the black communities. And that's why I chose racism for today. Again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for my segment on definitions.
Okay, Brielle, I have a question for you, right? Are you ready? Can
yes.
a black person be can a black person be racist?
No.
Can you tell me why?
I don't think they can be racist because I don't think they can be racist because it's like their own kind and it's their own race. So I feel like they would try to treat their self and their race better instead of treat it badly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to go to Justin. Justin, do you think a black person could be racist?
No. I say no because a black person cannot like white people or black people, but they don't have to like them, but they can't be racist of white people or their own race.
Okay, so you really didn't give me an answer, but your answer is no. Okay. So for both of you, I want to say your answer is correct, but your reason behind it is inaccurate, is not correct, okay? So we want to correct that right now, once and for all, because there have been instances in our society where people actually talked about reverse racism. A black person reversing and being racist towards white people or another group of people. Mr. Harris, I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to ask you the same question, and I want you to give me a reason why or why not. But can a black person be racist?
No, I agree with them that no, we can't. But my reasoning is based on what racism really is. Racism is something that you do, not something that is. Like, a racist is a person, somebody that embraces racism. So in order to be a racist or racism as the word, it means that you have power over somebody else. You know, white people can hate black people to the point where they said, okay, I'm going to make you live in certain areas. I'm gonna put pressure on you to go to these schools. I'm going to not have you make the same amount of money for jobs that you do. That's when you have power over somebody else. Now, a black person can say, I hate white people all day long. But that's not going to stop that white person from getting that loan in the bank. That's not going to stop that white person from going to whatever school they wanted to go to. You know, so racism is like a flexing of power of one group over another. So we could be prejudiced. You know, we could just hate them for who you are. But as far as being a racist, we can't do that. No.
Okay. I'm reminded of Osan Sweet, who in Detroit, and you may remember, Justin, where he wanted to live on the other side of the railroad tracks, so to speak. He wanted to live in a better neighborhood. And so he just happened to choose a neighborhood that was predominantly white, and it put his entire family at risk. Because you actually did the review and the story on Osan Sweet, right? And he had to fight, you know, literally fight to save his family's life, right? But laws, people institute laws and rules that don't permit a particular group of people from being able to advance in society, such as getting a better job. No blacks allowed, such as you cannot use this particular water fountain. You cannot go to this particular hotel. You cannot live in, like I said, in a particular neighborhood. Wait a minute. You can't go to this particular hospital because this is an all-white hospital. I think Dr. Charles Drew, the man who created blood plasma, died as a result of him having to drive an excess amount of miles to another hospital because the hospital that he went to didn't accept black people, right? And so the disparities that exist in our society because of racism is something that is controlled. When people control resources and the economics, it allows them to not allow a group of people to access the same opportunities as another group of people. That's why they, you know, the term and the word came about, racism. So in order to be a racist, you have to be able to, you know, say, oh, you can't get that job. Oh, you can't live in that house. Oh, you can't go to that hospital. Oh, you can't check into this hotel, right? This is all white only hotel. You have to have power behind it, right? And so I think I've danced on this particular subject long enough, right? Unless, Mr. Harris, you want to add.
No, yeah, you just have to understand that it's a verb, not a noun. It's something that you actually do to affect another person. And, you know, that's the main point of racism.
Okay. Right. Thank you, Mr. Harris, because you just broke it down. Thank you for helping me because I just was rattling on. I want to go to Justin. Justin, same thing. Give us a diamond and a definition. Knock it out. The real deal, ladies and gentlemen, Justin Hill.
Welcome back, everybody. And my definition segment is on the word writer. A person engaged in writing books, articles, stories, and etc. Like Alex Haley, he was a writer of many books. One of his books was Alex Haley Tells the Story of His Rich Family. And that is it for my segment of definitions.
Okay, well, go into your next diamond and then go into your definition.
Okay, my definition is on James Baldwin. James Baldwin, an American writer. He was born August 2nd, 1924. He His reputation has endured since his death, and his work has been adapted for the screen to great acclaim. Baldwin's work fictionalizes fundamental personal questions and the dilemmas amid complex social and psychological pressures. And my other definition segment is on the word poet. One of great imagination and expressive capabilities and special sensitivity to the medium. Also, some other poets are Maya Angelou and Langston Hughes. And that is my segment of diamonds and definitions.
Okay. All right. Great job. But you know what? I want you to highlight, what's the difference between Alex Haley and James Baldwin?
I think the difference between them two is that Alex Haley was a writer and James Baldwin was a poet.
And what's the difference between a writer and a poet?
I don't know.
No, you do know. Poetry is like what? Look at your definition.
Poetry is using your imagination.
And what else? Poetry can almost be like a what?
I don't know.
No, poetry, you do know, because we talked about it yesterday. Poetry has a certain rhythm. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So a certain rhythm is like a what? We dance to it. It's like a song. Got it?
Yes.
Okay, so the difference between being a writer and being a poet is a writer uses text or words to express themselves, and a poet uses text and words, but they use it in a rhythmatic style where you can have a person, some people, you can put music behind poetry, okay? You know, and almost dance to it, a rhythm where you can snap your fingers to poetry. And so that's what I would say is the difference between the two. Okay? You got it?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so we want to move back. Brielle Claire. Brielle, take it away. How many segments do you have left?
I have two more segments.
Okay, I want you to knock both of them out.
Okay. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. In 1868, February 23rd, W.E.B. Du Bois was born in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Many years later, in 1888, Du Bois graduated from Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee. He received a Ph.D. from Harvard University in 1895. His doctoral dissertation was published in 1896. He received an advanced degree for history. He trained in social science. At the time, sociologists were theorizing about race relations. So Du Bois conducted empirical inquiries into the condition of black people. For more than a decade, he devoted himself to sociologists' investigations of black people in America. In 1914, he was a professor at Atlanta University in Georgia. He originally believed that science can solve racial problems. He clashed with the most famously black influence leader of the time, Booker T. Washington. DuBois didn't agree on Washington's strategy on freeing a black man would only serve to perpetuate it. So Booker T. Washington mentions the so-called attacking words said by DuBois and his organization. But luckily, DuBois was able to successfully get a part in the NAACP. He was an integrationist. He then became a leader in the Pan-African Conference. When leaving NAACP, he decided to go back to Atlanta for the next 10 years to teach and scholarship. After time, he became disappointed in the U.S., so he moved to Ghana and worked as an Encyclopedia Africana, where he thought it would be complete, but turned out he became a citizen. He later died at the age of 95 on August 27, 1963. And I'm going to be moving on to my definitions of effort. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it define us. And the definition of effort is a vigorous or determined attempt. And for an example, he put effort into trying to solve racial problems with science. And again, you are listening to Brielle, and that is it for two of my segments on diamonds and definitions.
Okay. Great job for the both of you. Mr. Harris, I want to come to you and ask you, is there a difference between a poet and a writer?
Yeah. Well, a writer basically, he writes the way people normally talk. You know, that's what a writer does. He uses regular language to get his point across. A poet uses, like, metaphors, and it has a certain like cadence, you know. So it's like most rappers, if they're good at it, are poets. Well, you know, every songwriter that has lyrics is a poet because they're using the rhythmic language to get a point across, you know. And that's the main difference. One is regular conversation, and what is more creative.
Okay. So we talk about Du Bois again and Alex Haley and James Baldwin and Francis Cress Welsling. The definition of racism. Wow. I mean, it, you know, this particular show is just jam-packed with a lot of information. And the young people in the room, it takes time to digest the information so that you properly understand it. But just making the attempt to dive into it is an accomplishment within itself. And so that being said, last words for Brielle as it pertains to today's show. What did you think?
I think today was a good show, but I think that I needed to improve a little bit, and I need to read more of the text, even though that these are segments I've already done, to understand the information so I can be better on Saturday. But I think it was really good.
Okay. And Mr. Harris, what you think about today's show?
Yes. Today's show, it scratched the surface on some very deep conversations that we need to have. But it was good. It's a good beginning on learning what really what's going on around us. I liked it.
Okay. And Justin, what did you think about today's show?
I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty and good, eh? We'll close out the show.
I want to thank everyone for joining us at Blog Talk Radio. Make sure you check out our show next Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. on 89.5 FM. Questweek Radio is the best youth
the best
radio.
Youth
best youth radio.
Radio.
Best youth radio.